Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really strapping in for a fascinating look at the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, it's a professional sports organization that's trying to balance two incredibly different priorities right now.
Exactly. You've got this immediate high-stakes drama of a winner-take-all finale.
And that's set against this massive sort of long-term vision for their future, which is all about technology.
That tension is really what comes through in our source material for today.
It is. We have, on one hand, analysis of the CME Group Tour Championship structure, Naples, Florida, huge money on the line.
And then running parallel to that, we have transcripts detailing this.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking 2026 broadcast agreement from the new commissioner, Craig Kesler.
So our mission in this deep dive is pretty clear.
We want to give you a shortcut to understanding this really pivotal moment. We're going to unpack the significance of what they call the richest prize in the women's game.
And crucially, analyze the simmering debate about how the tour should actually reward its players.
Right. Is it all about that one spectacular victory at the end? Or is it about the consistency and excellence shown over, you know, the entire year?
I think we should start with the current heat, the drama, because that really sets the stage for why all these future changes are so necessary.
Okay, so let's talk about the CME Group Tour Championship, the big end-of-season event.
And when we say drama, we mean it. We're talking about huge financial stakes.
This is the event at Tiburon Golf Club. You've got the defending champion, Gino Fitan, and it's a small field, right? Only 60 players.
60 players, yes. And the purse is just enormous. It's $11 million, and that's all coming from CME Group.
And it's the structure of that purse that draws so much fire from critics.
Exactly. It's what everyone calls a pure winner-takes-all format, at least for that top prize.
So the source material makes a point of saying that the season-long points race, it just no longer matters once they tee off.
For that top cash payout, yes. All that work for months, and it just resets.
Let's talk about the numbers, because they're just unbelievable. $4 million for the winner.
A clean $4 million check. The runner-up gets $1 million, which is still fantastic, of course. But that drop-off is, it's massive.
It's huge. It really puts all the emphasis on that one singular victory.
It does. And that brings up the main critique from analysts like Trip Eisenhower. He points to Gino Fitan.
She was the season-long leader, the picture of consistency all year.
The best player over 12 months, and she gets, and I'm quoting here, no cash payout, no bonus for that massive accomplishment.
Hold on. So the player who was provably the best on tour for the whole season gets zero bonus, but someone who just gets hot for 1 week walks away with $4 million.
That's the structure.
I mean, that seems fundamentally flawed if your goal is to incentivize playing well all year long.
Well, to play devil's advocate for a second, the sources do suggest that the huge $4 million check creates this, you know, this unparalleled drama.
The winner-take-all climax.
Right. And that drives media attention. It drives ratings for that 1 week. CME Group is paying for that climax.
I see. So the fear is if you spread the money out too much, you risk watering down that spectacular finale.
That's the argument. But as Eisenhower points out, what's the cost? He even connects it to what the PGA Tour is trying to fix with its own finale, the FedEx Cup.
So what's his argument there?
He says that even though the PGA Tour is still tweaking its format, having a season-long race that actually matters adds immense value. It keeps, you know, eyeballs on the TV in August and September.
Ah, so without that, players who have already locked up their spot in the final championship, they just lose motivation for the events leading up to it.
That's the critique, yeah. They're just kind of coasting into the finale, and that does not make for compelling television in the weeks before.
That is a huge structural issue. If you know that only 1 week truly matters for the life-changing money, you're not pushing to win those late-season events.
And this is exactly why that future broadcast deal is so pivotal. The tour knows it needs to generate interest all year, not just for 1 week in Naples.
That is the perfect transition. So let's shift from the current money structure to the massive technological investment aimed at boosting the tour's long-term health.
The major announcement.
The major announcement, yeah. All effective starting in the 2026 season. And this is all the work of the new commissioner, Craig Kesler.
And Kesler's moving fast. The core of this plan is really about addressing those weaknesses we just talked about, specifically the lack of accessibility and data throughout the year.
Okay, let's unpack the changes.
Yeah.
What are the biggest leaps viewers are actually going to see?
The first and maybe the most crucial thing for building a fan base is just accessibility. Every single tournament round will be broadcast live.
Live. So no more tape delay.
No more tape delay. This is a huge shift. We're not talking about airing rounds that happened hours ago. And they're committing to weekend rounds on CNBC, which is a big deal for reaching a broader audience.
So no more taping an event in the morning and then seeing it at 8 p.m. when it feels, you know, instantly old.
Exactly. That live commitment just elevates the whole product. And the tech that's supporting it is getting a total overhaul.
So it's not just about more hours on TV.
Not at all. It's about matching the visual experience you get on the major men's tours. They announced there will be 50% more cameras in the broadcast coverage.
50%.
50, compared to what viewers just saw this past year.
And this is where it gets really interesting, I think, for viewers who love the deep statistical side of the game.
Oh, absolutely. They're moving way beyond just static cameras. We're talking slow-mo cameras, drones for different aerials and maybe angles. But the data piece is key.
Talk about the data.
So crucially, they're adding TrackMan shot tracing technology.
Okay, for listeners who might not be familiar, what does TrackMan actually do?
Right, so it's not just showing you the pretty arc of the ball. It gives you all these granular data points, carry distance, spin rate, the apex height of the shot.
And why does a casual viewer need that kind of detail?
Because it validates the incredible talent of these players. Lydia Ko pointed this out. She said that before, if you weren't physically at the event, you had no context.
Right.
Now you're at home, and you can see that a player drove the ball 275 yards with a perfect launch angle. It gives you a better idea of how the players are playing or how the golf course is playing. It turns it from just watching into like an analytical sportscast.
But the detail I find most intriguing is about the sound, about humanizing the athlete.
The microphones?
Yes. They're adding several more mics around the course so fans can better listen into the conversations between players and their caddies.
And more walk-in talks.
Yeah, chatting with players as they walk between holes.
Mm.
That kind of intimate access is just essential, isn't it?
It pulls the curtain back. I mean, we've all seen the standard coverage where the caddy whispers something and then the player hits. With this, you might actually get to hear the strategy debate, the stress, the club selection, what the player is thinking. That's how you convert a casual viewer into a real fan. You feel like you know the competitor.
And the players are totally on board with this. We saw reactions from Lydia Ko and Mai Li, and they were ecstatic.
And their perspective on why it matters is all about their role as entertainers.
Mai Li put it so simply. She said, television partnership is everything. Because, at the end of the day, they're entertainers.
She said that increased exposure as players is everything to us, too. It's their brands, their sponsorships. The whole success of the tour is tied to their visibility.
Lydia Ko said the same thing, basically. She called it a very big step forward that the players deserve. But she also connected it to modern media, right?
Yeah, she realizes this isn't just about golf. It's about attracting younger generations who have only knows this type of era in technology. If you don't look modern, you don't get the future audience.
And she made this really stark comparison. She said the day-to-day LPGA events just lacked the data and coverage you'd see at, say, the U.S. Women's Open.
Right. Before 2026, the regular events just didn't have that comprehensive feel. So expanding this tech across the board, it's about raising every single event to a major championship level of quality.
She even brought up her own family. She talked about watching her brother, Min Woo, play on the PDA and DP tours.
And her point was that she can just turn it on and it's live.
Exactly. That ease, that simple accessibility is a core part of, as she put it, building a better tour.
And that gets right back to the core tension we talked about. If a top player on the tour still defaults to watching another tour because the broadcast is just better and more accessible.
It shows you the exact structural weakness this 2026 plan is designed to fix.
Absolutely. The tour gets it. Exposure is the foundation for everything else.
Okay, so let's connect the two halves of this deep dive. Let's bring it all back together.
Let's do it.
We have a tour investing a huge amount of money in technology for 2026 to boost exposure. And that exposure relies on the year-round excellence of the players.
And the critics argue that the current structure of their biggest prize fails to reward that very same year-round excellence.
That's a huge disconnect.
It is. And it raises a really important question. How do you balance that need for the dramatic high-stakes finale, that $4 million moment, with the need to incentivize performance over the entire season?
Well, the sources actually offered a clear counterproposal from Trip Eisenhower on how to solve this.
Yeah, a kind of hybrid model.
So he suggested keeping the event great, you still need the big purse, the drama.
Uh-huh.
But you restructure the total $11 million prize pool.
His ideal is you trim a little off the top to fund that consistency bonus.
Yeah.
So instead of the winner getting the full $4 million, maybe they get $2.5 or $3 million.
Which is still, as he says, a very nice check for the winner.
Yeah.
It's still life-changing money.
Oh, absolutely. But that difference, that $1 or $1.5 million you just shaved off the top, that now goes into a dedicated bonus pool.
For the season-long points race.
Precisely. That pool could then be distributed among the top 5 players or 10 players. It would reward someone like Gino Fighthen with a 7-figure bonus for her year-long dominance, even if she has a bad week at the final event.
That seems like an almost perfect solution. You keep the huge drama of the tournament winner getting a massive check.
CME Group still gets their big promotional moment.
But you also validate the work of the players who make the tour compelling every single week leading up to it.
And that validation has a real impact. It solves that problem of players feeling demotivated in the lead-up events. It ensures the players who played the best all year should have some sort of carrot dangled in front of them to keep them motivated.
It keeps the integrity of the season-long race, which, in turn, makes the TV broadcast for all those other events more valuable. This has been a really comprehensive look at a defining pivot point for the LPGA Tour. We've explored the immediate financial drama of the Tour Championship and contrasted it with this ambitious, long-term tech investment from Commissioner Kessler.
It's a tool that is actively defining its future on two fronts, really, financially and technologically.
The path forward seems to be defined by these two different approaches to growth. Do you fix the immediate player incentive problem, or do you bet on long-term growth through better technology and visibility?
And considering the players themselves said that exposure as players is everything, it leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to consider.
Can Commissioner Kessler really rely on just dazzling technology and live coverage in 2026 to fix what is, at its core, a fundamental problem with how money and consistency are rewarded?
Or does the financial incentive structure have to change first to guarantee that the players remain consistently engaged and excellent enough for that new broadcast to even succeed?